Welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Let's go.
We're here again, baby. Andrew and Brayden in the off season. This is our second off season episode.
That's
since the Jazz have finished, and we're deep into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think it was two nights ago. Yeah. We saw one of the best finals games in the past few years. But yeah, how have you been?
Oh man, I've been so good. It used to feel like this was more of an off season, but it feels like we're still like. Feels like there's more NBA stuff going on than there has been in like mid-November. So it's been awesome. How are you doing?
Doing well. Yeah. It's almost full peak summer. So lots of time for some fun things. Warm outside.
So true. It's been really hot. We got a really exciting episode today, though. We got we actually do have some Jazz news. Pretty big Jazz news. Some shakeups in the front office a little bit. And then, of course, we'll talk about the NBA draft, who some updates on mock drafts and pre-draft workouts. We'll talk about that. And then, of course, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. NBA finals are in full swing, and we'll give our takes on that. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the big coaching jobs open in the NBA. And then, of course, we'll close with our BYU Cougars non-conference schedule and who we're most excited about.
Yeah, make sure to follow us on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple. We're on YouTube as well. You can find us on there. And make sure to stay tuned as we prepare for the draft in about 3 weeks. Catch us next episode. We'll be breaking down our Tuned In mock draft. And yeah, make sure to catch all those episodes.
And this is episode 74 of Tuned In Jazz.
All right, so there's been some pretty big news this past couple weeks with the front office.
Yes, there has.
So our boy Austin Ainge, AA, he's now in the front office as president of basketball operations.
Yep.
Pretty crazy. Do you think, what do we know about Austin Ainge? Is he like, he's been with the Celtics for a long time is what I saw.
Yeah, he has. I think he's been, this is his first time as president of basketball operations for anybody, though. I think he was just in the front office in Boston. Obviously, he's got a championship under his belt.
True.
Worked under his dad there 14 years, I think he said. A BYU alum, in case anybody was interested, played basketball here. Yeah, pretty exciting, honestly. Familiar name, obviously, to us, the Ainges. what are your thoughts, initial thoughts about the hire?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I feel like I know almost nothing about Austin Ainge, just that his last name is Ainge.
Yeah, right.
But honestly, that's enough for me to trust him because, you know, we love Danny Ainge over here, this podcast.
Absolutely.
And so, I don't know, I feel like, I mean, he's gotten the experience in the front office for the Celtics, which, you know, Celtics, they got Brad Stevens, they had Danny Ainge, they have a lot of good front office guys over there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think he's rubbed shoulders enough with people other than his dad to the point where I think he kind of knows the ins and outs of front office NBA. So I don't know. I trust him.
Yeah.
But I also think Danny Ainge is getting old. Maybe this kind of could mean that he might not want the pressure of the constructing the Jazz team in his old age.
Mm.
I don't know. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think to your point about him being around, I was listening to a couple of interviews that he did, including his press conference. He talked about how he goes way back with Justin Zanuck. Obviously, he knows Danny Ainge very well, his dad. And he talked about how he shared a wall. His office was right next to Will Hardy's when Will Hardy was in Boston. So I think he's very familiar with a lot of the people here in the Jazz organization. Interestingly enough, I guess I didn't realize this, but the president position has been open for 3 years in the Jazz. Nobody's filled that. And Ryan Smith in the press conference talked about how Danny was kind of offered that job a couple times and always said that he didn't want it. He kind of just wanted to be a basketball mind there, you know, helping them. But I don't think he wanted, like you said, I don't think he wanted the pressure of being the guy. And who better than his son that he trained up? So I think it's a really home run hire. I know a lot of people talk about nepotism, but it's all over the NBA, so I don't know if this is necessarily he's also has a ton of experience. I don't know if it's necessarily right.
And he's been a coach in the past, like on NBA rosters. I don't know if you saw the Dallas Mavericks hired their front office guy. I don't know, but basically the owner of the Mavericks, like, it's just his homie and friend, and the guy has like no experience in an NBA front office. So it's like, okay, at least we're not the Mavericks where like Ryan Smith is like, hey, this guy worked with me at Qualtrics, let's bring him in, you know? It's like, okay, yes, there is some nepotism, but like Austin Ainge, he's no joke. Like, this guy's been around the NBA. He's not just somebody's friend. He's on top of his game. He's not just a random guy we're bringing in.
And sometimes, I mean, I saw somebody argue the other day that there probably would be no Steph Curry without Dell Curry. I mean, nobody would know Steph Curry's name, and he went to Davidson. I mean, who's looking at Davidson other than, oh, look, Dell Curry's son plays there, and all of a sudden he's top 10 basketball player of all time, arguably. So you never know. It could really work out. You know, sometimes it really does help to know the right people. So
And I think also it could be cool, interesting that Austin Ainge was with the Celtics in their scouting department. I don't know if he was there when they drafted like all their all-star players, like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, all that. But like a huge part of the Jazz right now is scouting and player development. And that's like what he did. So like his emphasis in the Celtics is pretty much like what our whole organization's emphasis is.
I think it's also kind of an interesting hire. The Jazz seem to have kind of a weird, have had a weird front office for a little while, in my opinion. When you talk about other teams around the NBA, nobody ever talks about the CEO of basketball operations. But for some reason, when we talk about the Jazz, it's Danny Ainge who's in charge. You know, like we talk about Nico Harrison and Sam Presti and who else?
Masai Ujiri.
Right. And all those guys are the GM. Nobody ever talks about Justin Zanuck, right? Like we have such a weird like chain of command. But when we had this press conference, Ryan Smith said, Austin Ainge is going to be the final decision until it gets up to me, the owner. So it's kind of
interesting.
I think it's kind of nice that now we have some clarity that it's like maybe they already knew that where the chain of command was, but I think it's nice that the Jazz have some concrete now, you know?
Well, I think one thing we haven't mentioned yet, this is a big thing. They're asked about tanking pretty deliberately. But the quote that they responded, like, hey, are you going to tank next year? They said, you won't see that this year. What they said. So I don't know. Do you believe that for a second? Are we going to go away from tanking, or like, what do you think?
Well, I think you and I talked last time about how we were kind of done with tanking. Like we were hoping they'd be done. I've just been back and forth on it. I'm really not interested in watching a bunch of like barely out of the playoff seasons, and then we get the 10th pick, and then it's just like, I just don't know how we can build that way. I don't know if I want to see what we did again this year, but I don't know. I'm kind of like, I don't know if I believe him completely, because I don't know. It wouldn't be surprised if we just go super young, and then we just compete really hard, and maybe we'll just be bad anyways without having to sit people. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that we're still going to tank, or do you
believe? I'm thinking like, all the past two lotteries, the top three teams haven't even really like had a number one pick. So like if we end up being like the, what is it? Like we maybe don't make the playoffs, but we're like the Blazers were this year. Like we're like medium of the bad teams. Like we still might get the number one pick low key. So it's like, I'm kind of done with the 14% odds. I feel like it's just not high enough to deliberately be the worst team in the league. That's kind of what I'm thinking. And also I think my other argument is I totally agree with you from the standpoint that as a smart NBA fan, you want your team to tank because it means you'll get a better draft pick. You'll have better future. But also thinking from the side of the, a lot of NBA fans don't understand that. Like your casual fans are like, why did the Jazz suck? They don't understand that we're trying to build the team up. So I don't know. I feel like in some ways you might dedicate this season to the fans, where you just try and win as many games as you can.
Yeah.
And if you end up in the lottery, so be it. Maybe you get the number one pick like the Mavericks, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I thought it was cool, too, in that same press conference. Later, they asked him about the picks because they were asking, like, is 3 weeks enough for you to make the decision? You've been, obviously, he's been scouting for the 28th pick, which is where Boston's drafting. And he just talked about how he feels like there's so much, it's like such a deep draft that we could still get an impactful player at five. So, honestly, I think people are still counting out the fact that a guy like Trey Johnson or whoever, that seems to be the guy right now, he could come in and he could be the best player in the draft. If you look at the two
teams. Castle was rookie of the year at four. Yeah,
absolutely. And if you look at the teams who are in the finals right now, there's not really a number one pick leading any of those teams.
True. J-Dub, he was like late lottery.
Yeah. Even
Nimhard was late first round.
Yeah, Halliburton was the 12th pick.
Yeah.
I don't know where Shea was, but...
He was late lottery.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I also think on like both sides of that, it's like maybe we don't tank every year like the Sixers did that, and they still have yet to make the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
How many number one picks did they have? You know? And the Wolves were doing that, and the only time they got to the conference finals is when they like brought in other guys like Rudy Gobert and McDaniels. Sure. And anyways.
They got lucky too. But
so there's just so much that goes into building a team, you know? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think, honestly, you're right. Like, a lot of these teams don't get the top picks, but they still get good, solid players.
Yeah.
So, really, like, we should kind of do what's in our control.
Yeah.
We don't know what pick we're going to end up year in and year out, but we just got to get the best player possible with
absolutely
having a good scouting team, just really finding good talent. But anyways, yeah. I'm kind of on their side. I'm like, I know we've suffered the last 2 years with tanking. Last year was the one where we tanked the entire year. We didn't try. And then the 2 years before that, we kind of
started tanking halfway.
Did well the first half of the year and then decided to tank the second half of the year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think maybe we
I think that's my least favorite option of all the options.
Yeah. You're like, tanking half. Let's just go all in one way or the other. Yeah,
honestly, I think so.
So I don't know. I'm thinking I'm down to go all in on trying to win some games just because, man, we got the best odds this year. Man, it didn't work. So
yeah,
don't want to end up like the Wizards.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's such a confidence killer to guys like Keontae or Isaiah to tell them like to go out there, but you want them to lose. Like when your organization is telling you, well, they're probably not explicitly saying it, but like
it's obvious.
You can tell when Lauri Markkanen hasn't played, but he doesn't seem to be injured. You're like, yeah, obviously we're not trying to win, but I'm playing hard. Like, what does that do to a guy's confidence? I can't imagine that that's good for player development. So eventually we have to start developing guys. So
yeah. Anyways, well, I guess we'll see next year. I'm assuming at least the first month of the season, we're going to try and win as many games as possible.
Yeah.
And we'll see from that. But let's get into some draft stuff.
Yeah, let's do.
There's quite a bit.
Let's do.
From last time.
The Jazz workout list is getting a little longer. I don't know if there's really much to note other than that it's getting longer. Not many top guys have come in to work out yet. I'm assuming that will happen in the next couple of weeks. Some interesting ones. I think we already talked about Sean Padula, RJ Davis, Milos Uzan.
Uzan, he was Houston, right?
In Houston, okay. Yeah. He cooked BYU this year.
Right.
Seeing a lot of international guys on here, kind of interestingly. Guy from China.
Let's go.
So, yeah, it's hard.
Honestly, not really any big names.
Not yet, yeah.
I'm looking up the guy from China.
Yeah, Hansen Yang.
And it looks like he's a center that's 7'2".
Oh, interesting.
Was a Chinese two-time All-Star.
Get us our own Yao Ming over here.
Yeah, so I mean, right now it has him slated as like, what, 41. Ranked 41 in talent. I heard he did very well at the combine.
Interesting.
So, like, I don't know, low-key, we could get our own little Yao Ming in the second round.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it.
Impossible.
I wouldn't hate it. Yeah, he's a 41, that's right around where our second round pick is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a realistic second round pick. I think he'd be reaching at 21 probably, but...
Yeah, I'm looking up his stats on the CBA, and everything's in Chinese. I can't read any of it, so I don't actually know what any of those numbers mean, but it looks pretty good to me.
I'm
pretty sure he averaged like 15 a game for 2 years.
Honestly, anytime I look at numbers, it looks like Chinese to me, so I can relate.
yeah.
It looks like a lot of top guys aren't working out. The only one I'm seeing, it looks like Jeremiah Fears worked out for the Wizards already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing a couple like Danny Wolfs and Asa Newell's worked out, but
Jace Richardson.
Yeah. I'm not really Cedric Coward. I've seen him as a suggested Jazz guy before at 22. Yeah, but we're not really seeing a lot of these top guys work out yet, so
I'm hopefully sure we'll see in the next soon. 2 weeks, because I mean we got 3 weeks till the draft, right?
Yeah, I would think it's
we better
be,
get
right?
it going.
Pretty quickly. But I mean, mock drafts move around all the time. Who are you seeing? I think we were talking about Trey Johnson a lot last week, but have you seen any shift? And
so I felt like last episode we kind of decided most of the mock drafts were saying we're going to get one of three guys. Either Trey Johnson is the most common,
mm-hmm.
and then either Knipple or Jeremiah Fears.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. We don't love Jeremiah Fears just because we feel like he's a pure point guard. He's 6'3". He's kind of redundant to Collier. So I don't know. We're kind of not leaning towards him, but mostly Knipple and Trey Johnson. But then recently, I don't know if you've seen these, but Ace Bailey's been dropping in some mock drafts.
Yeah.
And also VJ Edgecombe has dropped to us in a couple mock drafts. So yeah. I don't know if either of those guys are available, or are you just taking them instead of Trey Johnson, or are you still thinking about it?
Yeah, honestly, I think it would be an easy pick if either VJ or Ace dropped to us. Especially Ace. I would love to have Ace Bailey.
I would take Ace for sure.
Yeah. I think that would be an easy pick. I really like Jeremiah Fears. We've just talked about how he's not a great fit with the Jazz. I do think one way he would be a good fit is if he just barely turned 19, I think. So he would be like, if we were still trying to tank, I guess, mm-hmm. but without tanking, he'd be a good one to just like let him play, you know, compete.
Well, and I'm not certain the Jazz are going to pick at 5.
Oh, you think they might trade
up? I think they might trade up.
Trade up. I could see it.
To like 3 or 4.
I would be surprised if Charlotte moved their pick. But Philly, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, Philly could definitely move their pick. They're trying to win now with Embiid.
The only problem with Philly seems like there's a lot of guards after, like, looking at this mock draft that I'm looking at now. 4 through 8 are all guards, and I don't think that Philly really needs guards with Maxey and McCain.
Yeah.
Ace would be a really good fit, but...
But he's super young. They might want a guy that's a little older and more experienced.
That's true, ready to play. Yeah. So I don't know. That would be interesting. I could see them moving up. What would you be willing to give up for presumably Ace Bailey if we moved to 3?
Honestly, I'll just tell you what I wouldn't be able to give up, because I'd be willing to give up everything else.
Okay.
maybe like a future first round pick.
Yeah.
Low key, if we next year the Thunder will get our pick if it's below 8.
Yeah.
So like if you're all in on winning, you could just trade the rights to the pick if it's above 8 next year.
Yeah.
I don't know, that'd be kind of ballsy, but
that's true.
Do that. I'm not giving up Kessler, not giving up Collier or Filipowski.
Yeah.
But probably not Keontae, but I would think about Keontae depending on...
I would, yeah.
Yeah, possibly could be in the deal.
Not just straight up for the third pick, but if we could get something else back too, I'd give up Keontae.
Yeah, just a decent player.
Yeah.
Not trading Markkanen, but honestly anything else I'm willing to give up.
I wonder if the Jazz could... I know there's still a lot of excitement about Hendricks, but I wonder if he's somebody we could like convince a team.
Dangle him.
Because he came into the draft as kind of an exciting player. And obviously last year he started really well, and it's a really unfortunate situation. But
yeah, I also know John Collins is now on a, I'm
That's
pretty
true.
Sure, an expiring contract.
Yeah.
So if some team wants John Collins, they only have to take his contract for 1 year.
That's true.
And he would be pretty impactful.
That'd be a tough one to move with how big it is, though.
I know. I don't know if they have the salary cap for that.
Yeah.
But I think the salary cap's going up again, so yeah. Maybe they would.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think watch out for the Jazz to potentially move, because I don't think it's solidified that we're going to pick at 5.
Absolutely. What do you think are the biggest, we've talked about this before, but I feel like it's always just kind of changing. What do you feel like, regardless of what the player's name is, what do you hope the Jazz come away with the draft with? Like, is it a guard, big man, depth, starter? Like, what are you feeling?
That's a good question. I feel like we just need a scorer first and foremost, like somebody that we can rely on in the clutch or just to put up a lot of points and also not be like a liability on defense that teams are going to hunt. So that's hard to find, because like you see like all the teams left in the playoffs, they all have a player, except for the Thunder, they're the exception.
Mm-hmm.
They all have a player that gets hunted on defense. Like Tyrese Haliburton's getting hunted on defense. He's doing an all right job.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson, as good as he is, he always is going to get hunted on defense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like we could get a guy that's like going to give us first or second option type of point total, and also not get hunted on defense. Kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Trey Johnson is that, but I think point wise he could fit that. I don't know about his defense.
Yeah.
And then I think VJ Edgecombe could very much fit that mold.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to get him, but we'll see.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I totally agree. That's what I just keep feeling like, is the Jazz need a centerpiece to build around. That's the main problem, in my opinion, is we're just kind of directionless, because it's like, who's going to be the guy?
Yep.
I don't think a lot of people believe it's going to be Lowry. Maybe people do, but I don't. I think the more and more we go on, the more I'm thinking it was a mistake that we signed Lowry to that huge deal. Honestly, we probably should have moved him. But he is a great player. I think he's a piece we could build with, so I guess it's not horrible. But
I also think if our best players end up being through the draft,
yeah,
we're not going to be paying them that much while Lowry's on the big contract. So then once they actually need their big money, Lowry's contract will be done. So
yeah, that is so true.
A little silver lining.
But finding a cornerstone guy, that's like much easier said than done, obviously.
Sure. Yeah, we got to get lucky through the draft.
They
don't
just show up, yeah. Yeah, so. But last year, wasn't Stephon Castle the fifth pick? Fourth pick,
fourth
maybe?
Pick.
So we're right there. So we'll find somebody.
We could do it.
That's right.
But I think that's enough draft talk.
Yeah.
We'll hit you next time with our mock draft, but let's talk some playoffs, man.
Like,
I don't know about you, but I think this has been my favorite playoffs in the past 3 years for sure, maybe more.
If you don't like these playoffs, I'm just convinced you don't like basketball. You just like you just like drama, because this is good basketball being played.
Yeah, I was hearing one of my buddies say that this playoffs is for the basketball fan.
Yes, absolutely.
Not for the casual fan.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're not, obviously, I mean, if you're listening to this, you're probably locked into the NBA. But if you're not, Pacers Thunder playing right now in the NBA Finals. Pacers are up game one. Did you watch game one?
Yeah, Pacers came back doing their thing they've done time and time again.
It felt identical to the Knicks game almost.
Felt identical to the Knicks game, the Bucks game, the Cavs game.
Oh, that's true.
They've had one game like that, like every series.
Yeah.
It's like, when is this going to stop? Like, is their luck run out, you know?
Yeah. It's
but
pretty
it's
wild.
It's still going. I mean, I also was very impressed with Andrew Nembhard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw, like, down the stretch at the end of the game, he was just, like, ISO-ing at the top of the key, drains a three in a guy's face.
He's a good defender, too.
Yeah, he's
going one-on-one with Shea
defender.
Is not an easy thing to
like,
do.
Like, by the time the Thunder get the ball down the court, they've got, like, 14 seconds left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they don't really have much time to do their offense. They're kind of at the mercy of the Pacers.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick Carlisle is such a good coach, too. Every time I watch him, like, I'm not, like, a huge basketball nerd when it comes to, like, schemes and stuff, but every time I watch him, I'm like, dang, that was cool what they just did. Like,
yeah.
How they rotate on defense and some of their plays on offense to get guys open is just, it's really nice.
But let's also be honest as well. The Thunder should have won this game.
They definitely
like they were the better team most of the game. They gave it away at the end.
Yeah,
they played phenomenal defense. I think the Pacers had 24 turnovers in this game, which could be close to the most. I don't know what the most probably up there. So I mean, the Thunder's defense, you couldn't ask for anything more than that, except for down the stretch they gave it away.
Yeah. Oh, I saw something that said that the Pacers led the game for 0.3 seconds in that game, which was that last 0.3 seconds that they won, which is insane.
So you honestly, if you're Shea, like you're heartbroken, but you also know that you played a pretty good game.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I would also say I think we need more from Chet and J-Dub.
Absolutely.
They were pretty silent. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's almost like they weren't even playing.
Yeah.
So probably need a little bit more from them in game two and then just keep up the defense.
Yeah. Who would you say you're rooting for? I feel like we've both kind of talked about how we thought Thunder were going to win, but has that changed? Are you
still? Yeah, I mean, I picked the Thunder from the beginning of the playoffs as my champion prediction.
Yeah.
I'm a guy that loves an underdog story.
Me too.
So I'm rooting for the Pacers to take it home, but I also just want to see good basketball like we had in game one.
Yes.
So regardless of winner, I think we were spoiled with the excitement of the games, but I'm definitely an underdog guy.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too. I kind of feel like the Thunder are here to stay for a little while. I think they'll get their opportunity to win one. Mm-hmm. So I'm really hoping. I like Halliburton a lot. He just seems like such a likable dude. And Siakam. Halliburton was like voted.
Siakam was a second round pick, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and he's.
I remember when he was like a 60 overall in 2K.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like one of the only guys in this whole finals with finals experience other than Caruso. So it's like, anyways, it's just so fun. I'm rooting for the Pacers too, but I'd be okay with the Thunder one. I think they're a good team. So
yeah, no, let's just keep getting more games like game one, honestly. Yeah. But then I guess we could talk about the Knicks.
Yeah.
Dude, Tom Thibodeau's out as coach.
Yeah. Do you think they overreacted?
Oh, yeah. I think if you're a Knicks fan, this is the best year you've had, like, in my lifetime, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I were the Knicks, I would have been thrilled about this season and run it back. But I guess they were not as thrilled as maybe they should be.
Yeah. Typical New York sports, I feel like.
Yeah, I also feel like Tom Thibodeau is New York. Like, he was him. His style and his philosophies kind of embodied what their team was all about. So it's like they're going to have to build a whole new culture now that he's gone.
Yeah, it does get a little weird. I feel like his players bought into, which is a hard thing to get your players to buy into a coach's system. And they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They haven't been there in, I don't even, a couple decades.
Like Patrick Ewing, probably.
It's like, so... I don't know. It makes me wonder if there was something going on behind the scenes. Maybe he wanted out too. Maybe he was tired of.
I don't know.
It just seems odd.
Jalen Brunson was supporting him in the press conference after the game. Yeah. So I don't think Jalen Brunson at least was against him.
Yeah. So they're going to be hitting the coach. If there's one thing we're learning in the NBA in the last 5-10 years, winning coach of the year does not keep your job very safe for very long. Because
fortunate for them, there's a lot of coaches available.
Yeah. I found this article with a couple names. I'll just read through and maybe we can talk about a couple. These are the top five according to NBC. I'm sure there's others, but Michael Malone, former Nuggets coach. Johnny Bryant, former Jazz assistant, now Cleveland assistant. Dan Hurley, UConn head coach.
Okay.
And Jay Wright, former Villanova head coach, and Jeff Van Gundy, who has been an ESPN broadcaster for a little while, used to coach.
He's on the Clippers' assistants right now.
I think so, yeah.
With Ty Lue.
Anyways, is there any thoughts about any of those guys or all of those guys, or what are you feeling?
I think the smartest pick is probably Mike Malone, just because you've seen what he's done in Denver, and I think he could keep that going.
Absolutely.
But I think the most fun pick might be Jay Wright. Just because, like,
I think so.
All the Villanova boys are on the team, like, there'd be that connection there. I don't know if he'd be the best X's and O's, but definitely the one that I think would be the most fun.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Jay Wright would be super cool. I heard a rumor that he's been turning down any coaching opportunity in the last 3 or 4 years since he left Villanova. So it makes me wonder if he would.
Yeah.
Dan Hurley to me is interesting. He obviously turned down the Lakers job last year. But he seems like He's like such a hothead. He seems more New York to me than Tom Thibodeau does.
Really?
Like, just because he's so loud and like animated, and that just seems like New York to me. But I don't know. That's just
interesting. I think that's too much New York for me.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe, but, I don't know.
He seems like, I don't know. Johnny Bryant would be interesting. I don't know much about him. I know he was a jazz guy, mm-hmm. but I don't know much about his style or anything. But yeah, kind of interesting. And Jeff Van Gundy would be. He would do a great job. He's coached good before, so.
Yeah, he's just getting older in age, I feel like.
Absolutely.
I don't know how many years he wants to do.
Yeah. Safest choice is probably Mike Malone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because we know he can win. The Wolves, though, we didn't really talk
so
about
sad.
The Western Conference Finals.
Do you think this is it for Joe Ingles? That's the most important question.
Yeah, I think so. I kind of think Mike Conley might be there, too. I wouldn't be surprised.
Those guys are getting to the end of their career. Gobert will probably have at least 3 more years in the tank.
I think
hopefully.
So.
But, yeah, it might be it for Joe.
Yeah, Nickeil Alexander-Walker played really well. And at one point, I thought he was the best player on the Wolves in the Western Conference Finals. Yeah.
And he was locking up Shea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was playing really well. Ant was just, he like was disappearing for big stretches of the game. Julius Randle was like, he looked really nice at some points, but was...
He was good in the two series before that. Yeah. He just couldn't do it against the Thunder.
Yeah, they just played them really well. It makes me wonder if the Wolves... Are they just going to keep trying? They have gone back-to-back Western Conference Finals, so you could argue that it's working. But
yeah, I think Julius Randle might be getting at the end of his contract. He might be a free agent.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what
they
do.
And people are on the Gobert hate train again. So I don't know. One makes me wonder how the Wolves feel. Maybe they're...
I don't think they can really trade him. He's such a big contract.
That's true, yeah.
They've kind of have just... Yeah. Locked themselves into the Gobert experience.
Yeah, and he does make them a better defensive team. People who know basketball know that, so.
Yeah, and I don't think you can pin the loss on Gobert.
No, not at all.
If anything, it goes on Anthony Edwards first.
Yeah.
And Julius Randle, then Gobert.
Yeah. I also think looking back at the Jazz with Gobert, I really like how the Wolves are able to rotate Naz Reid and Gobert in together.
Yeah.
Because Naz Reid, like, Quinn Snyder just kind of refused to adjust in the playoffs with Gobert.
We really didn't have
we didn't have a Naz Reid
option that we could go to for five out. Yeah.
And so it's like, whenever teams go small, like the Thunder do a lot, you can switch in Naz Reid and he can switch a lot easier.
Right.
And I think they do a lot better job of using Gobert defensively, but obviously it's still a liability sometimes. But
yeah. So I don't know. That'll be an interesting offseason. I'm hoping they don't fire their coach.
Yeah.
I think Finch is doing a great job.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
But who knows, they might, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Well, I guess, are you still holding on to the Thunder as your champion favorite?
I think so.
Game one's a big, big deal, because most of the time if you win game one, you win the series.
Yeah, I think game two, in my opinion... is going to decide it now that we know that game one, how it turned out. If Pacers win game two, it's going to be really hard to dig out of. Indiana's a tough place to play.
Oh, yeah.
And giving them home court like that is not going to be great for you. So.
But I think the Thunder is probably even tougher to play.
Yeah.
They get into it.
But, I mean, they caught one already, so I don't know.
Yeah. If anything, two great basketball cities.
Yeah.
They love their teams over there.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think the Thunder probably still my favorite, even though game one went to the Pacers, but we'll see what it goes.
Yeah, that's true. BYU basketball, obviously the craziest season we're about to go into probably ever.
Yep. Get the hype train ready to go. We're already on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild. BYU in the last couple of weeks has been just scheduling like crazy. Some notable games. We were already planning on opening up the season in Las Vegas against Villanova, which is pretty awesome. We also scheduled UConn. We're going to play them in Boston, which is pretty
cool. Let's go.
Wisconsin, we're going to play them in Salt
the rematch.
Lake at the Delta Center. We're going to play... We'll play in the ESPN Invitational, which includes Miami, Georgetown, and Dayton. And then we're also going to play Clemson in New York City. And then on top of that, we're playing an exhibition with North Carolina, also in Salt Lake City. So pretty crazy, honestly.
I don't think we've ever had this many
I don't think so
blue
either.
Blood teams.
I don't think so
doing
either.
With us. It's totally because of AJ, right? There's really no other reason.
All these games are winnable too, I think. I mean, UConn had a down year last year.
Villanova's kind of been off the grid for a while, so we could probably still.
All Clemson's guys left. Wisconsin, obviously we played them close in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that was a nail-biter.
But John Tanjay, who cooked us in the tournament, he's not there
gone,
anymore.
So who knows who they'll have to replace him.
Dude, it's exciting. I'm hoping, my worry is that it's a little too hard, but I also think that when it comes tournament time, that the committee will look at us a little more favorably because we're scheduling harder games, I'm hoping, at least, even if we lose some of them. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, but if anything, it's going to make for some good games to watch,
Absolutely.
Which is what we're here for.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. We're excited for the draft. It's coming up in a couple weeks, so get ready. Make sure to follow us on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Apple, anywhere you get your podcast. And make sure to check out our past episodes. We've broken down a lot of the rookies, and you can learn more about them. And take care.
Peace.